Good morning, church. Every Sunday before we start, Doug, or if it's Josiah, they come and find me and give me this microphone. And I always tell them, make sure it's not on while we're singing, because that would be horrible for a lot of people. And then I wonder, when do they turn it on? I don't know exactly. And I was walking down the aisle, and just to myself, I was making some noise, and then I realized, oh, it's on. So, last song, it's on. So I gotta be mindful of that. You know what comes out of my mouth at that point. It's good to be together this morning. Amen. Thank you for those who've come before me and led prayers and led communion and led singing. And it's no small task to come up and before a congregation and especially lead in this way, right? You know, if you're giving a presentation at work. You know, or a project at school, I mean, that's important for sure, but to come up in front of a family of believers and to lead, you know, as we come together to worship God, it's not a small task, and I know those who do come up, you know, don't take it that way, and so thank y'all for doing that. It kind of takes you off your game, too, doesn't it, when you know you have to get up here, you know, for Stanley or myself, you got to do it every week, but, you know, if you come, you come, you get to worship. But if you know, hey, I got to go up in front of everyone, that time before, you're not fully getting to worship like you want. Maybe, I don't know. But so thank y'all. We're going to be in three sections of Scripture today. So if you want to mark your spots in your Bible, we're going to be in Acts chapter 2. We're going to do verses 1 through 13. And I'm telling you this beforehand because there's not going to be any slides up there. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. John chapter 3, which Brandon read for us just a minute ago. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. And then Psalm 18. Psalm 18, verses 1 through 19. That's what we're going to look at this morning. We're continuing to work our way through the book of Acts. We have an interesting part of Scripture this morning. It's all interesting, but sometimes it's interesting. It's like, oh, that's cool. And sometimes it's interesting, like, I have no idea what's going on there. And I'm going to be honest with you this morning. I hope I'm honest with you every time I get up here. I don't really know what's going on a whole lot. Not just in life in general, but in this part of Scripture. We're going to look at this, okay? And I'm going to try to... We're talking about the Holy Spirit. So, I mean, come on. You know, like, what do we know? How much can we know? There's some things we can know for sure. I'm going to look at one thing this morning, okay? One thing about the Holy Spirit as we get into this. That's my goal. Sermon-wise, this is simple. As far as like how I'm setting it up, delivery, that's part of it's simple because what we're dealing with is not simple. It is, I mean, really, it's very difficult to understand. In fact, it's one of those things you might actually just have to have faith in, you know? You just kind of have to rely on it without fully knowing how it works. Okay, so anyway, so all that being said, let's continue Acts chapter 2. We've been working our way to this point. You know, 2 weeks ago, I think we talked about the Holy Spirit, and then we talked about prayer last week, and now we're going back to the Holy Spirit. Next week, we might be in prayer again. I don't know. It's not being redundant. Maybe it is, but it's just to help us get this. All right, help us to have faith, to just start walking in this is the goal. So here we are. We have the apostles. You know what they've been through. Jesus' death on the cross, his resurrection, the time together, 40 days of him teaching them about the kingdom. Amazing things are happening. He tells them, wait here until you receive the gift my Father's going to give you. We talked last week as they waited for not exactly sure how long that would have been, maybe somewhere between 7 and 10 days. You know, we talked about them just constantly being in prayer, And, you know, we talked some of the prayers they might have prayed while they waited last week. And so one thing I didn't mention, I thought about this week, was what if they would have said Psalm 23, or the Lord's Prayer, excuse me, the Lord's Prayer. We did talk about that. But when they got to the part that says, your kingdom come. You know, remember, Jesus taught them how to pray much earlier in his ministry with them. And he told them, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And when they heard that, you know, okay, yeah, your kingdom come. And then when years later, after his death and resurrection, and after he ascends into heaven, they're together and they're praying, your kingdom come. And how much of a difference it would have been when they heard that, you know, about 3 years beforehand and he said it, versus when they're saying it at that moment and like, oh, wow, like kingdom come. Yeah, it's about to come. Like it is here, right? And what that prayer would have meant to them. And so they're waiting. That's where we're at in Acts chapter 2. They're still waiting. And so in verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. The apostles were together, and more likely the women that were with them, and Jesus' mom and Jesus' brothers would have been there too. And so you travel to Jerusalem for Passover, and then if you're able to, you stay. You stay all the way through until Pentecost and celebrate that as well. But there they are. Suddenly, verse 2, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. So they're all together in one place. And a sound of a violent wind. The sound of a violent wind. Have you ever heard a violent wind? Well, if you've sat through hurricanes, you've heard violent winds, right? I remember specifically, I think it was Ike. We had left because, you know, we bought into the hype of you got to leave for hurricanes. Like, no. Back in the day, you didn't leave, right, Ron? You stuck through the hurricanes, but now you got to leave. And we left. And when we came back, my neighbor who didn't leave, I was talking to him, and he said, y'all sat through plenty of hurricanes. He said, for whatever reason, this one, it sounded like a freight train was running outside my window. That's what he said. He said, I'll leave next time. He was scared. He was literally scared because it sounded like a freight train, he said, was just barreling by his window. That's how strong the wind was. The sound of a violent wind. Wind's an interesting thing, right? Who doesn't love a gentle breeze? You know, I mean, that's nice. When you're out there and you feel it, you're like, especially in Houston, you know, when it's humid or whatever, all of a sudden, like, man, if it was breezy like this all the time, I'd never want to leave this place, right? That breeze just feels so good. I'm one of those, I mean, I like breezes, no doubt about it, but I also like it, you're probably like this too, when a storm starts to blow in, you know, when a cold front's coming through and you, like, bam, it hits, and you know, like, oh, wow, here it is, and you feel that wind blowing, and it's kind of strong, that's pretty neat too, right? It's a pretty cool thing to experience, and then you got the winds where you're, now we're in a whole other territory, right? A tornado. I don't know if you've ever experienced a tornado. I've not experienced a tornado. I've seen the effects of what a tornado can do. And that is not nice like a gentle breeze, right? That is something you would use the word violent for. Violent. Those are two words you don't always put together much, do you? Wind and violent. That's scary. Those types of winds are scary. And they're scary because, well, for one, the damage they do, right? But you don't have any control. You don't have any control. You know, hopefully if it's cold enough, you can find a place to get warm. It's hot enough, you know, you can find yourself some AC. Where do you go to hide from the wind? Because even if you're inside, you may not be safe, especially if it's a tornado, if it's a violent wind. And you don't know how long it's going to last, and you don't know when it's going to end. It can be very scary. And we're reading this story, and there's a sound like the blowing of a violent wind. It comes from heaven, and it fills the whole house where they were sitting. Imagine this, right? This is the sound. And the scripture doesn't say that it actually was a wind blowing, but a sound. So I don't know if, you know, wind's blowing or not. It's not 100% clear. But the sound it would make would be scary. I can guarantee that. Because you're thinking, what in the world? And did they hear it from far off coming? You know, did they hear it coming from heaven? Or was it just suddenly upon them? Did everyone else get to hear this? But something amazing is going on. And this idea that the Holy Spirit is coming, as you're going to know if you've read ahead already, the Holy Spirit's coming, and it's coming on this violent wind, or at least with a sound behind it of this violent wind. Verse 3, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. I wonder if any of them tried to run from that tongue of fire as it came to them, right? You see it land on Peter's head, and then it lands on, and then you got one coming to you. It's like, do I want this thing on me or not? Right? I'm just trying to picture this, right? What are they going through? What are they experiencing? What are they thinking? Came to rest on each of them. It says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They are now filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're able to speak a language that they weren't able to speak before. They've received, this is the receiving of the gift that Jesus promised God would give them. This is what's going on. Wait here until you receive the gift my Father in heaven will give you. It's a free gift. Wait for it. And it comes with the sound of a violent wind and with fire, tongues of what seems to be like tongues of fire resting on them. And they have this ability to do something they weren't able to do. Okay? Verse 5, now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. They all would have been there for Passover and then stayed for Pentecost. They would have come from all over, right? When the Assyrians came in years and years before and conquered the northern part of Israel, and they took the Jews from there, they would have scattered them to different countries. And while they were there, they would have learned the languages of those different countries. And then, of course, we know, I keep getting the noise here. Let me, bear with me. Let me move this down a little bit. Sorry, y'all. I don't know if that makes a difference or not. That's a violent wind. Sound of a violent wind. And so there would have been Jews from all over the Roman Empire there. And they could have all speaking different languages that from where they were from. And so they're all there. And it says, verse 6, when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. The first time I read this, I thought, and this may be, I don't know. I thought everyone came to where the apostles were at because of the sound of the wind. That's the way I read it at first. And you may read it that way too. And that they hear the wind also and they're like, what is that? And they come running. But if you keep reading, it says, when they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. And I don't know if it was the sound of the wind that brought them there or the fact that they're hearing their own language being spoken. The apostles are speaking. Now imagine, they're together in one place. The Holy Spirit hits them and you know comes upon them. And they're speaking in a language that's not their own. Who are they speaking to? It's just them. And they're all speaking a different language. Can they understand each other? I don't know. But they're all speaking a different language. They're speaking, and no one yet is there to hear what they have to say. That's an amazing, message for us. Speak, even if no one's there to hear what you have to say, because the words of God will draw people to what is being said. So they're speaking, and then so they hear this, and the crowd comes together. And they hear their own language being spoken. They hear these men speaking their own language. That would be pretty amazing. They recognize that these men are not from where they are from. How do they know this language? Verse 7, utterly amazed, they ask, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues, in our own languages. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? What is going on here? This is a miracle. They hear the wonders of God being spoken in their language by men who should not be able to speak. Men that have been hiding out, really, in an upper room, waiting, now have this ability and this courage. And really, they just can't help themselves. They're speaking about what they have seen and what they have heard, and it is bringing people to them. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This morning in Bible class, we talked about Moses and when God is talking to him in the burning bush. And God, the Bible says that God came down, or God tells Moses, I'm going to come down and I'm going to save my people who've been crying out to me. God says, I'm going to come down and I'm going to save my people. And then it says, he tells Moses, you go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. God says, I'm going to come down and save. And then he tells Moses, you go and tell Pharaoh. You see, that's how God operates. So sometimes he just comes down with his whole army, angel army, and he does everything. Right? He can do that. That's what Jesus did. Jesus came down and he did the work. But then there's other times God says, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do it through you. And that is exactly what's going on here. This outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the spreading this message, this gospel message, is being done through the apostles. This is the beginning. This is the beginning of the kingdom of God on earth. This is the beginning of the church right here. And it starts when the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, enters into his people and they start to speak. That's where it starts. Okay? Now, I told you this lesson is going to be relatively simple in how I deliver it, but what we're talking about is not simple. There's a lot going on here, the speaking of tongues and what that means. Maybe we get into that later, maybe we don't. We're not going to do that today. We're going to look at one thing, though. Turn now to John chapter... Oh, well, not yet. Let's go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. So go back one book. And it's what Brandon read for us earlier. Verses 1 through 9. There's a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who's come from God, for no one could perform the signs you're doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. This kingdom that we just read about in Acts chapter 2 that started, you want to be in that kingdom, you want to see that kingdom, you have to be born again. Verse 4, "How can someone be born when they're old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. What does it mean to be born again?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit." Born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh. That's what happens every day around the world, in hospitals and in homes and sometimes in buses and taxi cabs and airplanes. Flesh gives birth to flesh. But the Spirit gives birth to spirit. And church, that is what we should be about. Giving birth to spirit. But see, here's the thing. If we want the church to grow, if we want the kingdom to grow, we have to be in the spirit in order to be able to give birth to spirit. If we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to work within us, we cannot be a part of giving birth to spirit. The spirit gives birth to spirit. He tells Nicodemus in verse 7, "You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going." The wind blows wherever it pleases. And it does, doesn't it? You can't control it. You wish you could. Man, you wish you could. But you can't. Well, Jesus could. Remember when he stops the wind and the rain? He can do it. All right, it blows wherever it pleases. It lasts as long as it wants to last. It blows as strong as it wants to blow, and you don't know. You know, whether people can tell us, you know, high pressure, low pressure, it causes the wind. Well, okay. Well, what's setting up these pressures? How is this working? Right? How's this working? We don't know for sure. And Jesus says, "So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Do you think those apostles sitting in that upper room predicted this? Predicted what was going to happen, predicted the next years of how God was going to work through them and how the kingdom of God was going to grow. That's how it is with the Spirit. We don't know exactly what it's going to do, how it's going to work, how it's going to move us, but we got to trust in it, don't we? We got to trust in it. We got to trust in the Spirit. Wind and spirit, it's the same word. I don't know if you knew that or not. They use the same word in the Greek, pneuma, for wind, for spirit, for breath. It's like for movement of air. It's the same spirit. It's the same or same word. It's the same word in the Hebrew also. It's the same word, wind and spirit. Now, I'm not saying every time you see the word breathe or something and it's that it's pneuma. Sometimes there is a word for that also. But it can be used the same. When you're breathing, inhaling, exhaling, right? That's air coming in and out of you. That's pneuma. When the wind is blowing, it's pneuma, all right? It's a movement of air, and it's the same word for spirit. And I don't think that's no accident. Or excuse me, English teachers. I don't think that's an accident, any accident, right? That's and it says same in Hebrew. Ruah is the word, I believe. And it means spirit, and it means wind, and it means... And we don't understand it. And it's amazing because if you don't breathe, you don't live. Right? And if you don't have the Spirit of God, you don't live. It gives you true life. So when Jesus, later on, he's after his resurrection, he sees the apostles, and what does the Bible say? He breathes on them, and he says, receive the Spirit. Receive the Spirit. Because that's what you need to live. And you may not exactly know how it works, in the same way you don't know how the wind works, but you're going to trust. You're going to trust that it's going to move when it needs to move you, and we follow it. And Nicodemus' response is, I don't get it. I don't get it. And the thing is, you don't fully really have to get it. You only have to get it as much as you get the wind. And you don't get that very well, do you? But you know it when it's blowing. You feel it when it's blowing. Whether it's a gentle breeze that cools you down or just makes you feel like you're home, or if it's a violent wind that needs to shake things up and get people to move. You feel the Spirit when it operates. We're going to end in Psalm 18. So if you got that mark, turn to Psalm 18. And I titled this sermon, I don't know if it's in the bulletin there, it says, On the Wings of the Wind. And I titled it based on what is written in Psalm 18. And in Psalm 18, what we have, you can also read this in 2 Samuel 22, I believe it is. 2 Samuel 22 is this exact part of Scripture. Is David, he's kind of conquered all the enemies that are out there, right? Saul, of course, who wanted him down, and all these other kings. And he's kind of come to this place of peace, and he says this prayer. And we're not going to read all of it. A lot of it's, you know, it's conquering of enemies and you know, his place on the throne and all that. But what I want to look at, I'm just going to read through it, verses 1 through 19. And here's what I want you to have in mind as we read through this, okay? David prays to God, help me from my enemies. He's going to say that. And then God's going to act. He's going to say he's going to come down on the wings of the wind. God's going to come down. And I want you to really take in this description of God acting. And the reason I want you to do this is because when we pray to God for his Holy Spirit to work, to help us, to save us, to guide us, to show us what's going on, we need to keep in mind that he's going to work. He's going, when we're asking, just like Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, if it's going to glorify my Father, if it's going to lift up the kingdom, I'm going to come down. It's going to happen. You got to trust. Don't waver. Trust. And know that our God acts in such a mighty way, much stronger than a hurricane or a tornado, right, if need be. Sometimes it needs to just be a gentle breeze, but he will act. This is our God. What we read, this is our God in action. And it can sound very scary. And it's when you read it, it's one of those things like, I want that guy. I don't mean to call God a guy. I want that on him on my side. I want to be on his side. Right? I don't want to be on the other side of that. Psalm 18, verses 1 through 19. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I called to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundation of the mountains shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, the dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, clouds advanced with hailstones and bolts of lightning. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemy. With great bolts of lightning, he routed them.
The valleys of the sea were exposed and the foundation of the earth laid bare at your rebuke, Lord, at the blast of breath from your nostrils. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. This is the same God. This is the same God that when we pray, he's promised to act. Church, if we really set out to do God's will, what can stand in the way? What enemy can stand up to the power of our God? His Holy Spirit works in ways that we don't understand. All we have to do is trust and let him work. And just like we mentioned Moses earlier, who didn't think, I'm qualified, I can't do this. And God says, it's not about you, Moses, it's about me. We're not saying you are. God says, I am. He is the one at work in us. Let's let him, church. We serve a powerful, mighty God. Don't be afraid. Don't shy away from our moment now in his kingdom, at this time, in this place, to do his work. God says, I will work. Now you go and do. Let's do what he says. Amen, brothers and sisters. Let's sing.